This is Your Calls Media Roundtable. Now we are going to talk about voter suppression and gerrymandering. Yesterday, a group of mostly black women were arrested in the atrium of the United States Senate as they sang and called on Democrats to get rid of the filibuster in order to pass the For the People Act, which would immediately cancel most voter suppression laws at the state level. Congresswoman Joyce Beattie, who chairs the Congressional Black Caucus, was arrested with eight others. Also, activists across the country are taking part in direct actions throughout the summer to stop Republicans from suppressing the vote. They say they will take part in direct actions like they did yesterday. And then on Monday, over 50 Texas Democrats left the state to fly to Washington, D.C. to block passage of the GOP voter suppression bill in Texas and to urge the Democrats to pass the For the People Act. While voter suppression is getting a lot of media attention, gerrymandering is not. Today's guest, David Daley, reports that Republicans can win the next elections through gerrymandering alone. David Daley is a journalist, senior fellow with Fair Vote, and author of Unrigged, How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy, and Rat F'd, Why Your Vote Doesn't Count. Hi, David. Welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure, Rose.
Great to have you, David. You know, I have to say, just looking at Congresswoman Joyce Beattie get arrested in 2021 for fighting for the basic right to vote, the fact that so many people are going to spend so much money and so much time on this issue says so much about where we are in this country.
It's amazing that this is where we still are in 2021, that the chairwoman of the CBC is getting arrested, protesting her basic right to vote. But this is where the Supreme Court has led us by undermining and eviscerating the Voting Rights Act, perhaps the most important landmark legislation in the nation's history, arguably. And this is where we are because of what Republicans have been doing in state legislatures around the country, not simply in the last 6 months, but over the course really of the last decade since the Shelby County decision and since the Supreme Court gutted Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act that had required states with a history of prejudicial election rules. They had to clear any changes with either the Justice Department or a special court in Washington. And as soon as that protection went away, what you saw was precincts closing around the South and, you know, new voter ID bills and efforts to end Sunday voting when black voters often do souls to the polls. And, you know, we saw on January 6th, right, what happens when a mob revved up by the president of the United States takes over the Capitol. And that's one way that democracy can die. But another way is this death by a thousand cuts from Republican politicians in state legislatures, from conservative judges who's been placed on the bench over the years by Mitch McConnell and the Federalist Society. And it's, you know, not everybody who's undermining democracy, right, is one of those MAGA hat wearing rebels at the Capitol. Some of them are wearing expensive suits and they work in these buildings.
What do you think of media coverage of this overall? This year, 48 states have introduced 389 bills to restrict voting. 14 states have already passed 22 laws, making it harder for some to cast their ballots. Do you think that the media are really calling this for what it is? I mean, all you need to do is look at what Lindsey Graham told Fox in November of last year. He said the Republicans will never win another presidential election if they don't do something about mail-in voting.
No, you're exactly right. Republicans are doing this in plain sight. I think the media coverage of this is dramatically better now than it was a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. But we need to begin to call this what it is. We are under a very real threat of enduring Republican minority rule that puts large swaths of the nation and huge pieces of the federal government under control of Republican parties even when they win dramatically fewer votes. And if we don't start talking about it in that way, we're going to witness this slow decline and death of majority rule. The kind of redistricting that we are going to see over the course of the next 6 months, I would look at it this way. In 2020, Democrats won 4.7 million more votes than Republicans nationwide for the U.S. House. They managed to turn that into only a 5-seat majority in the House, because Democrats, thanks to redistricting, have to win huge majorities even to win a slender greater number of seats, while Republicans can win huge majorities even when they lose the popular vote. And what we're going to see next year, when the new maps are drawn in all of these states, suddenly you're going to have probably 2 seats in Texas, another 2 seats in North Carolina, another 2 seats in Florida. Republicans have made it clear that they intend to go after the single Democratic seats in places like Nashville, Tennessee, and Louisville, Kentucky, the blue cities in the middle of red states where Republicans will control the redistricting. And they could win somewhere between 11 and 14 seats, I would say, by redistricting alone. That means if you rerun the 2020 election in 2022, everyone votes the same way. Republicans would control Congress. You'd have Speaker Kevin McCarthy, even though Democrats could win by millions more votes. And this is a real crisis. And I think until we start talking about this as a real crisis and a genuine threat, we are not going to be able to do anything about it appropriately.
So what explains that, David? We've had you on the show for so many years talking about minority rule. I also think about Nancy McLean's incredible book, Democracy in Chains, The Deep History of the Radical Right Stealth Plan for America. So voter suppression is getting the attention it deserves finally. Why isn't gerrymandering getting attention? There's so much we're hearing now about 2022 and what could happen. I'm just not hearing much about gerrymandering at all in that coverage.
Yeah, you know, I think still too many people think that it is boring, that it's about maps and it's math, and or that it's politics as usual, and to the victors go the spoils. Or there's even an entire community that believes that this has to do more with geography than it does gerrymandering, simply that Democrats gerrymander themselves by living in big cities, even though and Republicans are just more effectively spread out. That's been debunked in all of the states that have had excessive partisan gerrymandering over the course of the last decade. There's been academic study in states like North Carolina, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, showing that that simply is not the case, that it has to do with the maps and not where people live. I think that what we are seeing, though, is that if you live in one of these gerrymandered states, you really understand what has happened to your vote and what has happened to your politics, because your politicians are beyond the influence of the ballot box, right? I mean, in a state like Michigan, Democrats have won more votes for the state house every year since 2012, and they've never taken a majority of seats due to the maps Republicans drew back in 2011. Wisconsin, in 2018, Democrats won 203,000 more votes than Republicans. They managed to pick up 1 seat and to cut the Republican edge there to 63-36. And when you see what these legislatures then do when they are free to do whatever they want because they are locked into office and insulated from the voters, they go after voting rights. They go after labor rights. They go after the environment. They go after reproductive rights. In North Carolina, right, the battle over Nicole Hannah Jones and her appointment at the University of North Carolina in critical race theory has everything to do with a gerrymandered legislature in North Carolina. The kind of concealed carry laws that we are seeing around the country in states where you would not ever expect to see such bills has everything to do with gerrymandering. You know, it's the same with states like Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, where there have been efforts to take away the rights of Democratic governors to enforce mask mandates or other emergency powers in the middle of a pandemic. All of this comes back to Republicans that drew themselves lines in districts that they cannot lose, made the primaries the most important elections, and essentially put radicals in office for the last a decade. Now they're on the verge of the gerrymanders of a decade ago, leading to another decade of gerrymandering in our politics.
David Daley is a reporter. He just wrote a piece for The Guardian called Republicans Can Win the Next Elections Through Gerrymandering Alone. If you have any questions or comments for David, how concerned are you about future elections? What do you think about Democrats and their response or non-response to redistricting and gerrymandering? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. What's so sad here is these are life and death issues that you're talking about, David. I mean, I'm just thinking about all of the people who are not vaccinated who are now in a hospital and fighting for their lives as we're talking.
I think that's right. And, you know, I think of, you know, I think of reproductive rights across, you know, so many states in the South that it's simply been, you know, hollowed out. And it's incredibly difficult to find an abortion provider and where this has effectively been criminalized, or, you know, all of the states where concealed carry laws have passed. But it could still get dramatically worse. You know, I mean, I sound like Chicken Little here. The sky is falling. But we still have time before 2024 for gerrymandered legislatures in all of these states to radically revise the way electoral college electors are distributed in some of these states. You know, there was a measure in Wisconsin that would award the state's 10 electoral college votes by the winners of the state's congressional districts, which are, of course, gerrymandered. So even though Joe Biden won the state and took all 10 of those electors, what this Republican proposal was to award the electors for the winner of each congressional district. So Donald Trump would have taken 6 of the 8, and then the bonus 2 electors that represent the 2 U.S. senators, instead of giving those to the winner of the popular vote, they double down and give those 2 to the winner of the most congressional districts. So Trump would have lost the state but taken 8 of the 10 electoral votes. Those are the kinds of shenanigans that I think you have to really be looking out for over the course of the next couple of years. Because if we've seen anything, it is that these legislatures are not abiding by any guardrails whatsoever.
You have some incredible quotes in your piece. Stephen Stepanek, New Hampshire's Republican State Party chair, said, "We control redistricting. I can stand here today and guarantee you that we will send a conservative Republican to Washington as a congressperson in 2022. In Kansas, Susan Weigel, a Republican Party State Senate president, campaigned on a promise to draw a gerrymandered map that takes out the only Democrat in the state's congressional delegation. We can do that," she boasted. "I guarantee you that we can draw 4 Republican congressional maps." You go on to talk about Texas, North Carolina. Again, I think that you have Texas Democrats in Washington. So many issues are hitting us at once, at full speed ahead. What are your thoughts about how Democrats are responding to this?
It's a complicated question. I would say several things. I think the Democrats attempted, and they organized over the course of the last years of the decade ahead of 2020 to try to win back legislative chambers and to win seats at the table for redistricting in 2022. That was an incredibly difficult fight because it's hard to win on gerrymandered maps. And the Democrats were not able to really make any inroads in any of the states that this was most crucial. And as a result, Republicans in many of these places are going to have a free hand to draw these lines in 2021. What we're seeing with the Texas Democrats who have denied a quorum and fled to Washington in an attempt to stop the voter suppression bill that is on the verge of passing there, you know, I think these are real heroes of a democracy, and they are doing what is urgent in this moment. And, you know, I think the Democrats in Washington ought to recognize that this is an extraordinarily urgent moment. I mean, Joe Biden has said that this is the crisis of democracy is worse than at any other moment since the Civil War. Well, if you really believe that, then I think we need to see a little bit more fierce urgency from Biden and also from other Democrats on this issue. And ultimately, it's going to come down to democracy or the filibuster. And Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema are really going to be on the wrong side of history if they refuse to budge, if they refuse to find a voting rights carve out in the filibuster or some way to take action on this. You know, Democrats have a moment right now in which they control the White House and both branches of Congress. And I don't know when that moment is going to be here again. I think it's extraordinarily likely that gerrymandering alone tips the U.S. House red in 2022. And that's before the historical gains that the party on the out usually make in a midterm election. The Senate is 50-50 right now. We all know that there are Republican structural advantages there. It's a difficult map. And what Republicans have done in states like Georgia and Arizona, where we imagine that there will be close races in 2022, are going to make it, you know, more difficult in those states. And, you know, what I think is on the table with regard to, you know, electoral college shenanigans in 2024. I mean, as we know, Joe Biden won the presidential election by about 7.6, 7.7 million votes in 2020, but had 44,000 votes in three states, Georgia, Arizona, and Wisconsin. Three of these states with the voter suppression measures, as we've been talking about, had those 44,000 votes gone the other way. It's a 269-269 tie. And the gerrymandered House, which votes for president by congressional delegation, would have installed Donald Trump for a second term. So we are really on the verge of something, I think, deeply dangerous and threatening to the idea of majority rule and representative democracy as we have come to know it at just about every level of our government, from state legislatures on up through the White House. And if Democrats don't take this opportunity that they have right now to do something about it, I fear for the rest of this decade.
That's really incredible, the 44,000 number. We have an email from Anna Marie who says, are Democrats less knowledgeable on these issues than Republicans?
No, I think they're deeply knowledgeable on this issue. I think that Republicans do this out of weakness, not strength. This is a strategy that is based on trying to hold back demographics and trying to be a party that is still a party of effectively old white Southern conservative men. And, you know, that's not a demographic that is growing in the country, but those appear to be the voters that are most welcome there. And if, you know, this is not a strategy that you pursue if you think you win battles of ideas or actually win more votes. These are strategies you pursue when you are afraid of what happens if you lose.
In our remaining minute, David, you write a lot about people who are getting involved to change the system. What can you tell us about what's happening on the ground, especially when it comes to gerrymandering?
I don't, you know, after 28 minutes of bleakness, let me try to pick you up. You know, again, I do think that this is something that a party does out of weakness, not strength. There are more of us than there are of them, and this is why they result and resort to these tactics. But what we have seen over the course of the last several years in Michigan and Missouri and Colorado and Florida and Utah and Ohio is that when citizens get together and push back against these repressive voting structures, that there is still very much a sense among all Americans, Republicans, Democrats, and independents, that fairness and the right to vote is paramount and really a foundational right. When redistricting or felony reenfranchisement or ranked choice voting or anti-gerrymandering measures are on the ballot, even in the reddest of states, these measures win with 60-70% of the vote. You simply wouldn't see that, you know, in Utah or Florida or Missouri or Ohio, if this was just some issue that Democrats and independents believed in. So when we push back against the structural unfairnesses, when we stand together and do so, they buckle, you know. I mean, Dr. King talked a lot, of course, about the, you know, moral arc of the universe being long and bending towards justice. It doesn't bend automatically. It only bends when all of us grab it and pull it and leave our hands on it and keep it bent in the direction we want to see it go.
Well, and that's why activists are taking part in direct action throughout the summer. A lot of people are planning to get arrested to raise awareness and raise hell about these issues. David Daley is a reporter, senior fellow for Fair Vote, and author of Unrigged: How Americans Are Battling Back to Save Democracy. Be sure to check out his piece and share it. Republicans can win the next elections through gerrymandering alone. Thanks so much, David, for your work. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Riz.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.